Welcome to the Sacred Feminine Power Podcast, where we explore the many facets of feminine power and why it is so important for women and for men to step into this power in our world at this time. This is Emmy from Feminine Revered, and my magical guest for today is Steve Farrell. Steve attained the pinnacle of success as a Silicon Valley entrepreneur, founding two high-tech firms. Then he pivoted to lead Humanity's Team, a global nonprofit helping people everywhere awaken to our interconnectedness through platforms such as their new Humanity Stream Plus streaming service. Steve's new book, A New Universal Dream, details his journey from a young entrepreneur to a life in service to humanity. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you, Emmy. It is great to be here with you and your listeners.
Oh, it's such a blessing to have you with us. And I've been a fan of Humanity's Team for many, many years. So it really is an honor to have you with us on this show. So thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, really good to be here. I've been looking forward to just diving into all of the delicious things that we're going to talk about here.
Beautiful. I love that. Now, Steve, since my podcast is called Sacred Feminine Power, I love to start by asking my guests, what does Sacred Feminine Power mean to you personally?
So to me personally, and I may go in a slightly different direction than some of your other guests, but so to me, sacred feminine power and sacred masculine power, there's a convergence. Now, in today's world, if I were to really go, we were to spend some real quality time talking about what that convergence is and how that feels, it would be more in the direction of what people would think about as sacred feminine power, because it, to me, it has more of what I would call the feminine qualities. This is like way outside of alpha male. You shared my background, Silicon Valley, where candidly I was very much in the right place at the right time. Did really, you could call it, hit the jackpot. But I was very much of a fish out of water. I was not the alpha male, which was the guy that was generally walking around in these venture capital suites, raising money and growing organizations. I was quite different than that. And when I decided to leave that world and launch Humanity's Team with Neil Donald Walsh 20 years ago, almost to the day, we set out in this direction of what is really sacred feminine power. It does have, you know, again, to me, we're really talking about divine power. We're talking about the one presence power, which we call in Humanity's Team the divine or God. But I'm just as comfortable calling it cosmos or universe with my science friends. It is, though, there's a huge power. As I understand it, and as it works for me, consciousness has kind of one plane with omnipresence, omniscience, and omnipotence. So that's connection, wisdom, and power. Then we go to superconsciousness. That has its own plane too, connection, wisdom, and power. And then we go to supraconsciousness. When I'm talking about sacred feminine power, I'm talking about now up at the supraconsciousness level where we're really... we have embraced the one. We've educated ourselves. We understand deeply there is no separation. The divine is right here, right now, even in my sleep state, which is why I sleep so beautifully. And in this supra consciousness, in this, what I'm going to call sacred feminine power, now the level of connection, the level of wisdom that is at our fingertips, and can also, yes, the level of power where we have more than a wind at our back, where there's a strength. There are these things that are just that come, resources coming to you. Why? Because now we're operating at this level where we've pulled our little self out of the way. We are standing in our bigger self. We understand that we're a part of the one. We understand that in today's world, there are these huge challenges individually and collectively. And we're here to play our part as a healer, as an alchemist, as to create positive change. So now an example, Joan of Arc, okay, would be sacred feminine power. And I would say, you know, again, this is just me. She was drawing on the same exact power that Saint Francis was drawing on. So now we have a male and we have a female, but this is the convergence. Now, it's very loving. We're in this place of deep connection. And so when we think of deep connection and very loving and healing, you know, where we're operating at a very high vibration, we tend to think of more a sacred feminine power, don't we, as opposed to divine masculine. So this is why I say in our concept of these masculine powers and feminine powers, it has more of an overall, the texture, the color would more be in the direction of feminine. But the wisdom at our fingertips, the power at our fingertips, even healing, all of these things are, to call it substantial would be an understatement. If where we align with the one, our bigger self, S with the capital S, and we really live into that, and we call forth, we're doing the metaphysical, we're calling forth the resources and the vision and things, the action steps to play the part, the role that we can play, then you can achieve what Joan of Arc achieved. You can achieve what Saint Francis achieved. And these are not, you know, these two people changed the world. So we'll just kind of rest into that. That's how powerful it is.
Mm, wow. Oh, my goodness me. You've opened up so many portals for us there to dive deeper into and explore. I mean, Joan of Arc and Saint Francis, wow. Those are beautiful examples to bring into this concept of sacred feminine power. And I'm sure we're going to dive deeper into at least a couple of the themes that you started opening up there, Steve. But I would love for you to share, before we go there, I would love for you to share about a challenge that you have faced on your path that's really helped you to activate the sacred feminine power within you.
Let me give you one that's right here with me today. I'm right in the middle of right now. I could give you so many. But Humanities Team, this 501c3 nonprofit Neil Donald Walsh and I founded 20 years ago. A year ago, we created an initiative called Changing Humanity's Future. And this initiative, in fact, seeks to do that. I mean, as crazy as that might sound, change humanity's future. How? By elevating what conscious living is. To the whole of the world, the 8 billion people that live in this world, because as we know in today's world, on an individual level, there is a great deal of isolation, sense of isolation, anxiety, even depression, disempowerment, right? A lot of people are looking out on today's world, there are all these challenges, and they're not in a good place, let's just say. And then you've got the younger generation, as we read about them, Generation Z and Alpha and even millennials, and right, they're not real happy with the level of meaning and purpose that they're finding in their professional lives. Actually, true even of boomers, but these younger generation, you know, it's real challenging, and they're even disconnecting in many cases from their parents because some of these old belief systems that the parents are carrying around, they're saying, you know, I'm just not going to do that. I'm reading 25% will even disconnect from their parents because they're not going to carry around these old beliefs. So on an individual level, we've got this huge challenge. And then on the collective level, you know, here where I am in the United States, you might be reading about the smoke that from Western Canada is drifting. It's all over Chicago now. The week before, it was all over New York City. The week before that, it was here in Boulder, Colorado. I actually had some throat trouble just because of the deep smoke. Mm-hmm. And that's just the smoke. We could get to the hurricanes. In June, we had in the Atlantic Ocean, 8-degree warmer weather, 2 hurricanes in June, never happened before. So we know, and I'm where you are there in Europe and around the world, right? The extreme weather, bad and getting worse, all a function of global warming. We've got the Ukraine war, you know, we could go on. We have these huge challenges in the world, individually and collectively. And the purpose that it serves, there is always a purpose. It's to smell the coffee moment of, hey, let's wake up. Time to wake up. You know, time to wake up. My co-founder, Neil Donald Walsh, wrote the Conversations with God series. The last book in the series was very unexpected. It was called Awaken the Species. It came out 7 years ago. And it says, we really, now is our moment that this, the We can't soil our planet any longer. We've got to now like mature with the rest of the universe, which is my new universal dream, what my book is about, and just do step into these into mature behaviors that the psychic abilities, raising our own vibration. If we keep raising it higher, we can actually be healers and alchemists. Not doing the opposite of soiling our planet, instead stewarding our planet, really taking good care of it. These are all things that we naturally do when we're conscious. It's what this nonprofit humanities team is devoted to. We've created a streaming platform that supports this conscious activity. Half of the subscriptions are free. We have a one-for-one program, you know, like Tom's Shoes. Give away one subscription for every paid subscription, because there are a lot of people, especially outside of the United States, on this conscious journey that can't afford even a well-priced and economical streaming platform supporting conscious living. So let me come back to the question you asked, the big challenge. So here's the big challenge: elevating this initiative, changing humanity's future so the planet sees it and understands it. So people can say, hooray, there's a remedy that's surfacing that could address the individual issues, the collective issues. It's going all the way upstream to root cause, where we really educate ourselves on this whole oneness of the universe that science, of course, is affirming now, right? And then we start living into it, becoming the arms and legs of the universe. It's what I do, we do in humanities team. So I'm right in the middle of this challenge now. It is I'm going to give myself a little extra time, say 2 years, and listen in this podcast, listen back to this if you're out in the future somewhere, that I'm saying this, because this will be elevated. The world will understand there's a remedy. We can actually heal at an individual level and collective level these challenges. Why do I say this and with confidence? Because this is a super conscious thing. This is a bigger self. Steve Farrell has no benefit in this at all, except that my benefit is I have kids. And even if I didn't, you know, there are lots of kids, this next generation that's here, these Generation Z, Alpha, Millennials, et cetera, their future generations. My gosh, you know, we enjoyed this beautiful planet, the physicality of the planet growing up. We want that for these kids too. Why would we go on with these behaviors that are so atrocious? So I'm in the middle of that now. It is, we had a big call yesterday. I had a lot of speakers live, 90-minute call. I had some big speakers from around the world in with me talking about it, had a big crowd. And just watch this initiative go, watch people pay attention and come into the conversation. And of course, there will be plenty of people that still won't buy the science or anything. If we know from history classes, you know, Galileo, who lived over in your part of the world, Emmy, it didn't go real well for him when he brought forward the science and said, oh, you know, we got a small problem here. The Earth is not the center of the universe at all. You know, yeah, actually, it's in a solar system, you know, and we revolve around the sun. It's not a whole universe revolving around the Earth. He got into a lot of trouble, you know, with the church, and he was under house arrest to the day he died. It's lucky he didn't get killed, actually. So, you know, when science comes in and affirms truths like, my gosh, you know, there's actually one universal consciousness or intelligence or loving presence, you know, and we're all actually faces of it, and it's physical and non-physical. That's the non-physical, of course, is those that have transitioned, loved ones, angels, guides. So, but again, science is in now saying it's true. The Nobel Prize for Physics in October last year was for entanglement. Entanglement means you've got two sides of the universe. There is no physical connection at all, and they're affecting each other. So this is a property of this universal consciousness that I speak of, this oneness, where it's an energetic vibrational universe. And everything, you know, the Earth, all humankind, animal life, plant life, we're all a part of that. So that's the challenge I'm in the middle of now. We are finding success, elevating it. We've got a long ways to go to really, you know, for people in countries around the world to say, yeah, I'm following, of course, the Changing Humanity's Future Initiative, where, and I'm myself living consciously, and I'm inviting others to also. So we take back our lives and take back this planet, heal, you know, pay attention to this beautiful planet that we live on and bring it back into the health and well-being where it belongs.
Yeah, that certainly is a huge challenge, especially in these times of transition that we are in, where it seems like there's so much chaos happening in our world. And at the same time, as you say, the remedy is right there. It's within us and in our ability to connect to all that is. I had goosebumps all over when you were talking there, Steve. And I was wondering if you could go a little bit deeper into the concept of conscious living and also conscious business, because I know a lot of our listeners are also intrigued by that theme. So I think that's two questions there. Conscious living, what does that really mean for us? And then is conscious business overall possible as well?
Yes. So conscious living, let's take that one first. So we start with education. We've got to, you know, really deeply understand this oneness that I speak about, this universal consciousness that is pervades the entire universe or cosmos, that's in physical and non-physical realms. So to deeply understand that, for people that don't, this nonprofit co-founded, Humanities Team, go to humanitiesteam.org with a Y, humanitiesteam.org. We have lots of free programs. At the top, it says programs. And if you cursor over it, you'll see free programs. There are lots of them that are science. So Nassim Harriman with his Resonant Science Foundation, Greg Braden, Bruce Lipton, Lynn McTaggart. There you'll see all of these free programs. Go through actually the one with Greg Braden and Nassim Harriman. It's an incredible program that what gets into what this oneness is. We have to really deeply understand first this oneness, what it is and how it works, before we can really go to next steps. Now, after we get to that step, then we have to overcome resistance to change. Because you mentioned my Silicon Valley background, let me tell you, when I went to my family, my coworkers, and my friends, and said, okay, I'm selling everything, I'm leaving my business associations, it's all over, and go to my wife and say, I may never get another paycheck again in my life, but my soul is calling me to this. Don't think that, fortunately, my wife, by the way, was very supportive, but everybody else thought I'd lost my mind. There's a great deal of resistance. And it's okay. People love you. You know, they're just trying to help. But we have to know deep down inside that this, what we're being called to and this vision of oneness that we want to live into, that it's right for us. And that this is part of the reason I wrote that book, by the way, A New Universal Dream, was to just take people through what happened to me and how I stood in the face of the adversity that was coming at me as I was leaving, you know, the jackpot land, the financial jackpot land, where I was there with, you know, the guy that started Netflix, Reed Hastings. I was there with Gavin Newsom, who's the governor of California. I mean, I was in the center of wealth creation in Silicon Valley, because I started two companies of my own that went to 75 million very quickly, which kind of gave me entrance into that club. So that's the second thing, overcoming resistance. The third one is then overcoming limiting beliefs. This is part of really understanding deeply what this oneness is, or universal consciousness. What it is, briefly, is the Rumi quote that we've all heard, that we are not just a drop in the ocean, that we are the whole ocean in a drop. That means the properties of the universe or the cosmos or God or divine, these words are interchangeable, are our properties. This is when I was going to supra consciousness, when we then, what you're devoting this program to, Emmy, and I know your listeners know that, because they can feel your heart energy, where it's all about that highest level of really where we're in a place of, sometimes people call it surrender, others call it service, but where we really have placed that highest agenda of humankind, the 8 billion people here, these, including, of course, these immigrants, you know, off of Greece where their ship capsizes. And my gosh, so many of them are lost. And that's happening all over the world. And then with the CO2 emissions that are creating worse and worse conditions here on the earth, where this becomes our focus of what are things that we and the organizations that we're in can do to be a force for positive change, to bring healing, to bring alchemy. So this is then a third thing is clearing limiting beliefs that we ever die. For example, my kids understand, you know, we don't use the word death. It's transition, a continuation day, right? There is no death. And we really understand that through education. Again, humanities team has lots of programs. If people haven't been exposed to that, haven't been around the near-death experience people or the mediums that are so talented and connect others with loved ones, angels, and guides all day long. The next one then is really, I'll call it the assimilation phase in conscious living. So this is where we really open to that wisdom I was referencing, that connection, that wisdom, and that power, remembrance, supraconsciousness. So where we deeply understand there's no separation, the divine is right here, right now, and we start living into it and with a pure agenda, such as what we're talking about here. There is, I'll call it an assimilation phase, where we start when we, next time that we move, or if a relationship is important in our lives, or if finances are an important dimension, we're going to have things drawn to us. There's a power. There are resources that will come to us, relationships that will come to us, finances that will come to us. All of the things that we need will come to us. We create intentions, of course, but also the metaphysical is entering in where, and in the metaphysical, we're instead of doing what we often want to do as humans of, oh, yesterday was a bad day and I'm a little worried about tomorrow. We're going right into this real quality time where we're peering into the future, tasting, touching, feeling, desiring, swimming in this whole new reality that we know the divine and the universe is helping us to manifest now. Why would it not, right? With what's going on in the earth, and you've had all of these incredible people, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, Muhammad, Buddha, all of these that have come and lived, do you really think that they're going to just let us just fall off a cliff now? There's no way. No, they're not going to live. All of that energy, that power, that wisdom, it's all here at our disposal where we are focused on health and well-being for the planet. So in this assimilation phase, we're really feeling into and understanding and assimilating, you know, these resources that come to us where we become the arms and legs and lungs of the one. So that's a real big step. In that step, what we're doing is you could use the term pre-serving life. It's really serving life. The only reason I'm putting pre in front of serving life is serving life now becomes such the key thing because it's the one. This is life and God are one, right? Life and universe are one. So the pre just means it's not only the first priority, it's like baked in this in a pre way, in a huge way that we wouldn't even think about starting a business. I'm an entrepreneur by background, but an entrepreneur say, oh, there's a need, I'll go fill it and I'll make some money. Now, if in a conscious business, which we're going to talk about next, the entrepreneur does two things. They say, oh, there's a need. Same thing still happens. But the conscious entrepreneur says, how, if I fill that need, how is that going to serve my family, the community, and the world? Is it going to create nourishment? Is it going to be helpful? Is it going to be healing? You know, all of these things. Now, if the answer is no, it's a GMO or, you know, it's media that's going to be just making money and telling the public horrible things. And unfortunately, there are media like that. You wouldn't even think of getting close to that. You would never start a business like that. So this step of pre-serving life comes in, whereas really this is the key thing throughout the day of, am I nourishing life? Am I supporting life? Am I helping individuals? Am I helping the collective? So those are some key steps here. I do have a free program on the Humanities Team site. So I mentioned there are all of these free programs, and one of them is called The Art of Becoming Conscious, Awaken the Resting Leader in You. So you'll see that under the free programs there on Humanities Team. And I take people through this. And then, you know, again, there are lots and lots of free programs. We also have a streaming platform that I mentioned called Humanity Stream Plus that has hundreds of programs. And then we stream live programs almost every day of the week, sometimes two and three programs. So all of that is on our platform. And the reason for all of this on the platform is when we talk about what we're talking about here, Emmy, of course, is social change, huge social change, right? Where we're going into what we're calling conscious living. You could call it other things too, but we call it conscious living. And to affect that change, education has always been the most powerful tool or instrument out there. So what we do is we identify, oh, there's the best science. Nassim and Greg Braden, let's grab them, create this program. Neil Donald Walsh and Michael Beckwith, let's grab them and create this program. Embodied practices, yoga, meditation, good. Let's get them all, bring them on, put them on the platform. Because there are thousands of paths to this one mountaintop. The one mountaintop is really what this program is about, sacred feminine power, you know, or presence at the top. It's the one, you know, it's God, it's the divine, or for science friends, it's the cosmos, it's the universe. And in its fullness, and the scientists are saying that it's actually collaborative, that it's in harmony, that it's in bliss, that it's interdependent, that it's non-dual, you know. So all of these things, many of these things we grew up with teachings. I grew up in the Catholic Church as an altar boy. You know, it wasn't a non-dual universe I was learning about there. You know, there are a lot of these things. There's a lot of relearning in these things. So those are some steps that I see when we talk about conscious living.
That's beautiful. And I love the amount of resources that you have at everyone's disposal at Humanities Team. I'm always amazed at how much you actually put out on a daily basis. It's incredible. And you can really feel that the energy behind it, the vibration behind it, is really heart-centered. It's soul-centered. And it's really coming from a place of really beautiful, beautiful space.
Yeah, thank you. Well, it's a calling, you know, for us, not a career at all, a calling. And which is why the whole Silicon Valley thing, you know, why I left it, because it was not any longer. I mean, I did really kind of hit the jackpot, you could call it, where I was doing that work. And we were doing good things. You know, we were adopting high schools. I mean, I wasn't the greedy guy, entrepreneur, but I also could see, boy, this world that I'm living in is pretty challenged, and I could do more if I wasn't just trying to grow my business. And, you know, I was called, really, I'm sure as you were, to create your podcast here. I was called to, there's a bigger role and a more important role that I can play. And and then the partners and colleagues I have in the Humanities Team, just amazing. They're so inspired. These things I'm talking about, they get up, they drive all day long. We are a completely virtual organization. I'm here, I'm the executive director, co-founder. I have nobody here around me. Even the assistant that works with me lives miles away. It's completely virtual. When everybody is pulling, this is going to now kind of begin our conversation as we move over to conscious business. When everybody sees a common dream, that dream is in front of them. Our dream is to make conscious living pervasive worldwide by 2040. In 17 years, we're awakened oneness, you know, the new spirituality, which is a part of what that means, where this great shift of the ages is nearing completion. This whole pivot, you know, into this whole new way of living is really present. That's the dream. That's the thing that's right there in front of us. And then another one, there are many pieces and parts to conscious business, but another one is inspiration, you know, that we're not We're not trying to motivate or people, you know, create carrots of sales contests or artificial things like that. It's real inspiration, you know, of just, and real inspiration, candidly, is loving people, wanting the best for people, supporting people. So one dimension of that is back in my Silicon Valley days, what you'd often do is I'd call it stacking. You know, you'd meet, you're talking to somebody, your sales manager, and you say, okay, I've got these five things. Can I give them to you? Feels a little heavy, not terribly inspiring. You know, you're that sales manager and you take it and go with it. But when you unstack and it's just, we're going to get to one thing at a time. You know, we're going to really talk to what is a high priority here. And we're just going to spend quality time on that. Let us get that done. You know, then we'll turn to the next thing. So there's no stacking. So these are three things. There actually are many other things that I could share about a conscious business. But a conscious business is really, it's creating a culture where all of these ideals that we talk about, of what oneness is, of unity consciousness, diversity and unity consciousness, where that's present. And there's actually a lot involved in it. But boy, where you do it right, it's part of why I had the great success in Silicon Valley. We didn't have terms like conscious living, you know, in the 90s when I created these businesses. But when you really bring these things to a business environment, launch an organization like this, or transition in a current business that's more conventional to conscious practices, who wouldn't, you know, the word, if there's a single word here when we talk about conscious business, is love. You know, it's love. That's what it is. Love. So, and if you can bring more love to something, your customers, your employees, your vendors, you know, everybody, who wouldn't want, of course, you know, you're going to get just this dramatic effect. Who wouldn't want to be around that?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That sounds really beautiful. And at the same time, you talked about resistance before already. And as more and more people are really consciously starting to lead lives that are more connected to nature, that are more connected to source, to God, however we want to call this, it also feels that this resistance is also growing in some ways. It's almost like the more love and the more light we are putting out, the more resistance there seems to be at the moment as well. What is your advice around that? How do we best keep that resistance at bay and remain connected to source and our true essence?
So practice, you know, our practice is really crucial here in this. So as we're becoming conscious, and that assimilation step in there is where, you know, we really go deep into our own practice. We find our own ways of really, there is this universal consciousness. There is no separation. So what are the things we can do as part of our daily practice that really bring us into that where we can really feel that? So, and everybody has something different here. Now, for me, there are a bunch of things. One is throughout my day, just stopping and even finding a quality 3 to 5 minutes where I go into the metaphysical. This is what I was talking about, that tasting, touching, feeling, seeing, you know, going into that process. And just doing that repeatedly throughout the day, it feels so good, by the way. You know, do it for 3 minutes. Just ask your listeners, try it if you're not already doing it. And just see how delicious it feels where you're feeling something for the common good. You're in your big self. You're seeing humanity. You're seeing in your own family. You know, we all have challenges. So seeing healing in your own family, just with loving relationships and unfolding in positive ways. In your own family, in your community, in the world. So that's a big one that I do throughout my day. I used to spend more time with more of the common. I said I grew up Catholic Church, so with help me with this and that and these. And I realized that with my time, where time is precious, that the biggest thing I could do was just dump most of that of this problem or shake that or help me with this, just drop it out and instead spend that quality time in the metaphysical, peering into the future, seeing it, seeing my book, which can help so many people, seeing this Changing Humanity's Future initiative coming to fruition, where I'm on all of these programs, seeing and feeling, tasting and touching those things. So that's a big one. Creating an environment for yourself where you can have stillness. So my office, I can look, there's a window here in front of me. There's one to the side. It's beautiful. There's nature. Nature, as you're seeing, there's the gentle breeze in your tree, just kind of swaying in a gentle breeze. That brings you into a whole bunch of words I could throw at you. Cohesion with the one, you know, where I'm a part of that and it's a part of me. Or frequency. Some people may be more on a vibrational level. The frequency of nature. Or, you know, blessing and beauty and grace and things like this. Those kinds of words also I feel, and when I'm feeling nature. Flow. If I were going to talk about my day and what I feel, which is, by the way, there's such a huge contrast here. Go back to my Silicon Valley days, okay? I'm waking up, oh boy, this is one of the bad days. This is a tough day. I'm challenged, the mental, emotional, logic center of the mind, you know, not all going well. And then, oh, this is a good day, you know, where just the sugar high, this is happening, that's happening, and fun. Now it's flow. I still have challenges, but I'm in flow, you know, frequency, cohesion, blessing, goodness, beauty. These are all, I'm in flow. And even with challenges, and I do have challenges, where I'm coming at it from flow and really having compassion, being a loving person, being a truthful person, it doesn't take me down into those terrible lows. I'm not on that roller coaster anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm really more, it's like drift diving, if you've ever done snorkeling or scuba, where you just put your arms out and you're just kind of in flow, you know, as you go over coral reefs and things. So these are all practices that I bring in. I listen to a lot of music, spiritual music throughout the day. It drives my family crazy. I've heard you play that song 1,000 times, you know, harpsichord music and stuff. I mean, I just love it. You know, these are all things that just keep me really tight in this whole world of flow or oneness or universal consciousness that I want to be in. So finding your practice is huge, that can keep you in that flow space. Where we heal that roller coaster. So you were asking then about overcoming resistance. As you do these things, metaphysical and practice and all of these things, resistance has just a more and more diminished role. It's just almost silly, quite honestly, where somebody wants to throw something at me now. It's silly. I remember one of our faculty, who was a big person in the world years ago, said, "I need you to do this," and it wasn't something really ethical or wasn't good. And I said, "You know, I'm not going to do that." And honestly, I'm at a place in my life where nobody could do anything to me to hurt me anymore. I don't believe in death. You know, you just can't hurt me. There's no resistance that can come at me that could turn me back. You know, I've burned my ships. I'm now fully in this, and there's no. It's a non-dual universe. You know, it's here to support what I'm doing. So I don't know. I know I'm kind of going in a different direction maybe than a lot of people might, but this is my truth in terms of how it works for me.
No, that's beautiful. And it feels very resonant as well. So thank you for sharing all those tips and that guidance with the listeners. I really appreciate that. Now, Steve, we've mentioned your book a number of times, A New Universal Dream. If our listeners wanted to buy that book and start reading it, where is the best place to go?
They should go to anewuniversaldream.com. We picked up the URL, the website that was the book name, anewuniversaldream.com. And there, it gets into a more description than we're going to have time to get to. And the first four chapters are unlocked, so you can read it and read the whole the directory on the book, which is quite extensive. And then, again, we're a 501c3 nonprofit. So one of the things we do from that site is we are giving away my masterclass. We talked about my free program here just a little bit ago, but I also created a masterclass called Conscious Leadership, and I even brought in Neil Donald Walsh and Michael Beckwith and Greg Braden and Barbara Marx Hubbard's family and all of these people as my guests during my masterclass to go through this whole conscious leadership thing, this what I'm calling the assimilation phase of how we really become the arms and legs and lungs of the universe. It's a $299 masterclass, and we're giving it away to people that buy the $19 book. Mm-hmm. So, and the reason is those two things together, the book that tell this, the true story of me from a teenager to today with all my humanities team partners and colleagues doing this Changing Humanity's Future work. And where I stop during that, the way I wrote the book is to stop and review. I was talking about here just a little bit ago, how I overcame resistance. So I stopped throughout the book and say, this happened, and this is how I overcame it. This was the wisdom that came to me. These are my lessons learned. And it's how I went from an 11-year-old at the beginning of the book, where I was a divorced mom, six brothers and sisters, really teeny little home, paying for my own braces in there when I was 11, because my mom didn't have the money for the braces. Mm-hmm. My orthodontist said, okay, $5 a month until they're paid off will work. And I had a paper route. So we start there, and then we come, through on this journey that's kind of remarkable, where I then went to the center of wealth creation in Silicon Valley. And now, of course, listeners can tell that's just not who I am at all. I'm I was called to this very different life. So throughout the book, I stop and bring in all of these lessons learned, this wisdom, this when we're talking about conscious living, how did I do it? What does it mean to me? I could go into that in some depth. So between the book and then the masterclass, you're really going to go deep in all of the stuff that that I would say will support us individually and collectively when we talk about living consciously. So, and that's all. And you just enter your receipt number at the site, enter your receipt number. And then we load down the masterclass, even before you get your book. So it's kind of a neat deal.
Beautiful. Does that also apply to the e-version or the digital version of the book, or just the hard copy?
Yeah, I should know the answer to that. And I would think both. I'm going to go check on that right when we hang up. It says the book, and we don't have the Audible hasn't come out yet, but there is an e-version of the book. I'm going to say both. I'll go check on that here. Again, as a nonprofit, we're actually not trying to, let's get them to spend $9 more or something. We're really trying to get the wisdom out there here. To support people, because a lot of people, as I mentioned, are sitting at post-COVID with, not sure I'm doing exactly what I want to do. Maybe there's a little more, a little more meaning, a little more purpose for me. And this is, we're really wanting to find those people. And that's what the book and the masterclass are focused on.
That is so beautiful. I really, really appreciate all that you do and all that you are, Steve, and all that you're becoming. Your purpose and your mission is so palpable in everything that you say and in your vibration overall. And it's just beautiful to chat with someone who is at that level and so focused and committed, dedicated to this purpose. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Emmy. I love your podcast. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It truly has been an honor. Really, really appreciate that. Thank you. Now, everybody, just for a moment, let's focus our awareness and our intention on this beautiful, beautiful energy that's been activated. And imagine sending this energy to everyone and everything on our planet. So remember that we are all truly one, and that the more of us have the courage to step into our sacred feminine power and to start living consciously, the more quickly our planet will also ascend and heal. Thank you so much for listening.